Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Memchet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah, like it's done with the previous Mishnayot, is giving you the breakdown of different types of objects of Avodah Zarah or Avodah Zarah itself. And here it says, Shalosh Asherotain. There are three different types of Asherot. Ilan Shenetao Mitchila L'Shem Avodat Kochavim. If the tree was planted in its origins for the purposes of Avodah Zarah, Arizo Asura. Everybody agrees that that's problematic. Gid'o upislo l'shem avodat kochavim. If he lopped it off, trimmed it, shaved it for the avodah zarah, vehechlif, and now it grows back, notel ma shehechlif, then you just have to remove that which has grown afterwards, and then the tree is fine. So the core of the tree, or the trunk of the tree, whatever existed before this person got to the tree, that is mutar. Then he trims it, prunes it, does something to the tree, and says everything that grows heretofore is considered to be a avodah zarah. In that case, the growth, or whatever extra grew, that you have to remove, but the core of the tree, whatever was there originally, is mutar. As Tosafot points out, this is obviously in a case where the individual is cutting it for the growths afterwards to be the avodah zarah. But if he shapes the tree, or does something for it to be an avodah zarah itself, then that is a sor imritz mechuber the karkov, because here you're taking a maisa, done an action, including if you dig borot, shechina me'arot, if you take action on mechuber the karkov, then you can actually affect the karkov. If you carve something out of the mountain, then that will be a problem of avodah zarah, even though it's attached to the mountain. So similarly over here, if you do something to the tree, that's for the purpose of making the current tree the avodah zarah, that would work, even though it's mechuber. We're speaking about here, and that's what Rashi notes on the Mishnah, is that it's a case where you cut it for the purpose of the growth afterwards being to be dedicated to avodah zarah. That's why only the additional growth is classified as avodah zarah. Emitachta avodat kochavim. If he places avodah zarah under the tree, v'natla, and then removes it later on, harizo mutaret. Then they were worshipping the avodah zarah that was under the tree and not the tree itself. So the tree is not affected by the fact that they placed avodah zarah under the tree. It doesn't change the status of the tree itself, because they were worshipping the avodah zarah, not the tree itself. Now the girsa that we have in the Mishnah is the girsa that Rashi brings, which is v'natla, that he took it away. And that matches up with Rashi's explanation in the previous Mishnah, is emid aleh avodat kochavim lefi sha'ah. He only put it on there temporarily. V'lo yiksah to heaven lebimus. And he didn't dedicate it to be a platform, v'silkah. Harizeh muteret v'ein tzvichah bitul. Doesn't need bitul, you just need him to take it away, because it wasn't made a part and parcel of the avodah zarah. And similarly over here, v'natla means that he put it there temporarily and then they took it away. It wasn't part of a permanent fixture that it was associated with the tree, which we'll see later on. If it is such, the next Mishnah will deal with that problem. But the Baalei Tosafot, if you note, on the Amud Bet from the previous Amud, had a different girsa, which is emi tachta avodat kochavim ubitla. Instead of v'natla, it was ubitla, Arizo muteret. And the Baalei Tosafot are perplexed by why do you need any bitul over here? There was nothing that was made into avodah zarah that requires bitul. And the Ran suggests that it was planted originally for the purpose of being a mishamesh l'avodah zarah. So it wasn't planted originally to be avodah zarah, but rather to be a mishamesh avodah zarah. But that is enough of a reason that it requires bitul in order to undo the fact that it was planted originally to be a mishamesh. So even though we'll see later on that being a mishamesh doesn't really affect something that's mechubar, if you planted originally for that purpose, that might be enough to deem it problematic as a mishamesh avodah zarah, and therefore it would require a bitul over here. But the Baalei Tosafot are unwilling to say that that's the case, because then ikar chaser min hasefer. That's not mentioned in the Mishnah, the fact that it was planted originally for that purpose. And we know that if it's a case of nita'o b'sof avado, then either as a avodah zarah or even as a mishamesh, that the Chachamim believe is mutar. So why would you need bitul over here? So the Baalei Tosafot conclude, akach mikom kom kos mach lo bitai sura derabanan ika. And there is no iser avodah zarah here. It's an iser derabanan. The b'shash over the Chachamim nirei takta nirei kiilu nituah mitchila dekach. Anytime there's avodah zarah there, it makes it look like as if the tree was planted for that particular purpose. So therefore, it's a problem of marat ayin that the tree itself might be associated with avodah zarah. And therefore it requires bitul over here, even though technically the tree itself is not avodah zarah and requires no bitul. The rabbanan imposed bitul because of a problem of marat ayin. Amrei debei Rabbi Yanai. Debei Rabbi Yanai we had a certain qualification of this Mishnah, which is Hushe Hibrit Virkiv Gushabo Shalilan. That's only if he grafted or he bent a branch underneath with the tree itself. It's not clear what Rabbi Yannai is modifying, so the Gemara's going to make an assumption, reject that, and come back with a different view as to what he's modifying. But in general, when we deal with Zra'im, there are two different methodologies for getting the tree to grow afterwards. One is Havracha, and one is Harkava. Harkava is what we know as traditional grafting. You have a core of a tree, and then you place another tree on top of that, and you graft them together to grow the upper tree using the strength or the base of the original tree. And then there's Havracha, which is from the word Berech, a knee. And that's because what they do is they take a branch from the original vine or tree. They bury that branch in the ground and bring it up in a different location. They did it especially with regards to grapevines. They took a vine that existed already, placed one of the branches of the vine underground, and brought it up somewhere else. And then the assumption was that that branch, either you would leave it there permanently like that, and it would grow attached to the original, or you would eventually sever it from the original, and that it would root itself, the new branch, because it had been planted in the ground. So that's Havracha and Harkava. So here, the Beit Rabbi Yannai says, that's only if you've done, seemingly, something significant to the tree. So our Mishnah seem to indicate, and what Gemara is going to ask in a second, that all you have to do is either lop it off, trim it, prune it, and then dedicate the growth afterwards to a avodah zarah. That's not something so significant that you've done to the tree. That's just a small item that you've done to the tree. Nevertheless, the Mishnah considered it to be whatever grows afterwards, a avodah zarah. Over here, Bnei Rabbi Yannai seems to be saying you have to do something significant to the tree in order for it to be deemed to be a avodah zarah afterwards. You need to graft it. You need to place it in the ground. And only then would the growth that comes afterwards be for avodah zarah, because it's as if you restarted the tree. It's as if you did something new with the tree, and as if you planted it for avodah zarah. And that's what the Gemara asks already from our Mishnah of Anan. Didn't we have in our Mishnah, Gid'op Yislow Tanan? It says, even if you just simply shape it, prune it, lop it off, Ela ki itmar de Rabbi Yannai, then you'd bitul itmar. So Rabbi Yannai can't be speaking about the origins of the problem there, Shira. He's speaking about the nullification of it. The apagav de ivrich v'yirkid b'gufo shel ilan, ki nata mashi chlif shapir dami. So here, it's going on the other half of this, which is that we said, once the tree regrows, or the growth comes out that you dedicated to avodah zarah, if you remove it, then the core of the tree is fine. So now Rabbi Yannai comes along to say, that's even if you've grafted the tree, that's even if you've been mavrich the tree, that's enough that you just cut off the new growth, and the original tree is still considered to be mutar. It would have had a havamina. This is such a significant action, that as if you started the tree from scratch, and it's dedicated to avodah zarah from scratch. What it says is no, that it's still the new growth is problematic, the stuff that was there originally is fine. I would have thought when you do such a significant action, it's as if you planted it for a vazara, the litzar kula, and therefore the entire tree would be asur, kamash malan, that we do not say that. And that's where Beit Rabbi Yannai are coming along. Actually, a kula in the bittul, not a kula in making the avodah zarah. And the avodah zarah, any type of action dedicated to the avodah zarah will make whatever grows afterwards, mukdash, quote unquote, the avodah zarah. But in the bittul, even if you've done a significant action, the bittul can still overcome that, or you can remove whatever grew afterwards, and the core of the tree would be mutar. Amar Shmuel, mishtachavel ilan, tosaftei asura. Someone who bows down to a tree, in essence, makes it into avodah zarah, anything that grows afterwards is problematic. That which existed before, it's mechuber lekarka, you can't change the status of that which is there originally, but the tosefet, that which comes afterwards, you're going to make asur. Meitiv Rabbi Elazar, Gid'o Pislo Lavdako Chavim Ve'echlif. Notel Mashe Echlif. We are Mishnah, Gid'o Pislo. If you shape it, prune it, lop it off for the sake of avodah zarah, then it grows. That which grows is considered to be dedicated to avodah zarah. And the Gemara says, Gid'o Pislo in, Lo Gid'o Pislo Lo. You still require some action. May not be to the extent that the Beit Rabbi Yannai says, where you need to graft or do something so significant, but you have to take some action in order for the tree to be asur going forward. You can't just say he bowed down to it, now everything becomes asur going forward. So now, how is Shmuel going to deal with this? So I'm like, Shmuel, how many rabbonon he? That is the position of the Rabbanan. That which Rabbi Elazar stated is the position of the Rabbanan. Ushmal damarka Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. And Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw back on Memhei Amud Bet. We saw Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda's position damar. Ilan shenita'o ulusof avdo. A tree that was originally planted and then only afterwards did he decide to worship before Rav Zarah is a sur. So he's, according to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, you can change the status of a tree after the fact. So here, what Shmuel is saying is when you bow down to the tree, making it to Avodah Zarah, that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, that even after you planted a tree, not for purpose of Avodah Zarah, but you worship it later, you can change that tree into a tree of Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the Chachamim, who believe that only if you planted it originally for Avodah Zarah can that happen. But if it was planted originally for a different purpose, and then you worship it, you can't change the status of the tree, because the tree is ready in Mechubar the Karka, and then it has a din like Harimik Vot, where you can't make the Harimik Vot into Avodah Zarah. I mean, you can make it, but it doesn't have any effect on the Harimik Vot. So Dovir, you won't have any effect on the tree, unless you take action. When you do something and take action to change or shape the tree, then the growth afterwards will be for Avodah Zarah, because that's not simply doing something to a Mechubar the Karka. There's you actually taking some action on the item that now changes the status of the item. The Balat Tosafot asks over here, and it's actually a question asked by many of the Rishonim, why doesn't the Gemara bifurcate the statement over here like it did previously with regards to the Bayit? And that is to say over here that Shmuel's statement when he says it's Asur by Yishtachavaya is to say that Yishtachavaya is Oser even without Gidlob Slo, and Gidlob Slo is Oser even without Yishtachavaya. And then create two pathways to create the Isser. One that says Gidob slow, the other one is Shintachvaya, the same way they did with the Bayit, where we said a Mishtachaved the Bayit in Rav's statement, and we bifurcated the din about Mishtachvaya versus Bina'o, Apopisha Ishtachavelo, or Ishtachavelo, Apopisha lo Bina'o. The Bayit does one answer is just because it's just not true. That the Gemara is going to conclude in the end that Gidob is slow, requires Ishtachavaya in order for it to be Asur, and it can't be that they are independent of each other. That which the Mishnah says, Gidol Bislo is Asur, that's only if they bow down to it. Then it becomes problematic. And why is there a difference between Bayit and Ilan? He says, because there's a fundamental difference between them. A Bayit is something that is Talush, and afterwards Mechubar, whereas a tree is Mechubar from its outset. And therefore, the din of a tree, or the ability to make a tree into a Avodah Zarah, has a higher threshold, because of the fact that it's Mechubar the Karka, and has a din like Harimik Vot. To overcome that, you need both Gidob Slo and Ishtachavaya. As opposed to a Bayit that was Talush, and then Acharkach Mechubar, that item is really, in essence, Talush. And therefore, it requires a lower threshold in order to make it into a Avodah Zarah. And the truth is, with regards to the Gidob Slo, where you're shaping the tree, if you're shaping the tree for its current state, then you can speak about it making it a sur. But if you're shaping the tree for the future growth is yet to be here. So what's making the future growth a sur? Must be the Ishtachavaya. Although the Rosh does argue fundamentally against that position by saying that when you go to Opislo, it's as if you're planting a new tree. And that which grows afterwards is considered to be as if you planted it for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. And that's why the new growth is Asur, because that's like Lechatchila, you planted it, the Shem of Avodah Zarah, that which will come afterwards. So he disagrees fundamentally with that view of the Balei Tosafot. And the Rosh attributes the difference in the Mishnayot to the Chiddush that's being presented. Because the Mishnah by Biniyah is a huge Chiddush in that Mishnah, that something that's built for Avodah Zarah can become automatically Asur, even before any worship is done with it. That in of itself is a big Chiddush, that Biniyah should make it that it is Asur. So that could stand alone as being a reason for making it Asur. And therefore, when you say Ishtachavaya, Ishtachavaya might be independent. Versus in our case over here, where Gidob Islo, in of itself, is not a Chiddush. Because the way the Rosh learns is that that's as if you planted the tree for Avodah Zarah. Because if he's just coming to teach us Gidob Islo, you don't have to teach us that. That we would have known automatically because of the fact that it's like as if a new tree is planted for Avodah Zarah. Must be that's coming to teach you that you need Gidob Islo and Ishtachavaya. That's the reason why the Gemara doesn't give the similar answer that it gave before to the case of Bniyah. Although from Rashi, it makes it sound like the Gemara is doing this in the Shita of Shmuel. And in Hokanami, Shmuel could have answered this way, but the Gemara chose to go in a different way and say that even without that answer, we can explain that Shmuel is following the position of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah according to the Chachamim. And that is the answer that's brought, actually, by other Rishonim, the name of the Rashbam, which is that the Gemara could have gone in that direction, but it rather set it up to have a Stam Mishnah like the Chachamim, and have Shmuel's position like that of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Mat Kiblo Rav Ashi, Mirayit, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbonon, B'Tosefet Pligei. How do you know the Machlok between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbonon is only about that which grows afterwards? It might be that they're arguing about the tree per se. I mean, even the ikar of a tree, that's what they're arguing about. Dilma, Tosefet, the Divrei HaKol Asur. Maybe everybody agrees what grows afterwards is going to be Asur. Ubi Karo Pligei. And they argue about the core of the tree that was there prior to him bowing down to the tree. So all we know from Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda over there is Ilan Shinato B'Sof Avado is Asur. But from that sugi over there, it's never clear what is Asur. Is it just B'Tosefet? Or is it the Ikar? What we do know is the Chachamim disagree with them and say it's Mutar. Whatever he says is Asur is Mutar, but we have no indication as to what it is that he makes Asur, except for the fact that it has something to do with Tfisat Adam, something where there's human involvement in it, and that's the case of Nita'o, the Sof of Ado. But other than that, we don't know what it is that he's Oser. Over there, the Moraim believe that what he was Oser is the Tosefet. Ravashi is coming over here to say that that's not the case. It's speaking about the Ikar, not the Tosefet. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Ikaro, Nami Asur, that the core of the tree, after you bow down to it, not only is the Tosefet problematic, but even the core tree is problematic, Tichtiv. The Pasuk says, V'asherehem tisrufun ba'esh. In the plural, it says, V'asherehem tisrufun ba'esh. That's speaking about two different types of asherot, as Rashi notes. Chad lintoa mitchila lakach, one that was originally planted for that purpose, V'chad lintoa b'sof avdo, and the other one that was planted originally, not for purpose of Avodah Zarah, but later co-opted for Avodah Zarah, both of those tisrufun ba'esh. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, both of those asherot are problematic, and that's across the board. Doesn't mean just what grew afterwards, it means even the core of the tree is problematic. Rabbanan Zavre, Ikar Ilan Shari, Rabbanan believe that the core of the tree is fine, Dichtiv, Vashereihem Tigadeyun. It says about the asherot that you must cut them down. Implied in the fact that you can cut them down means that there's a part of it that's a sore and the remainder that is good, which means the ikar, the core of it would be fine. Only that which grew afterwards needs to be cut down. And so that's the view of the Chachamim. Now the Chachamim will deal with Asherehem Tisrufun Ba'esh to tell you that's when it's planted originally for that purpose. That's when you have the Tisrufun Ba'esh. And even though it's written in plural, Vashereihem, that means all asherot. It doesn't mean that there are different types of asherot. It just means all asherot of this genre will have to be burnt in the fire. And the other ones will be, tigadeyun, will be cut down. And this says, based on the Tosefta that we saw before, what is a tree where the growth is problematic, but ikaro shari, but the core of the tree is fine? Ari omer, ilan shenata'o, ublesof abdo. Wait a minute. Back on Mem Heom and Bet, when we brought the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that's not how we explained Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And all the different limudim we had in the Gemara didn't follow that way. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and all those limudim said that when it came to a tree that was Nita'o L'Sof Avdo, there we said that only the growth was problematic, the core of the tree was fine. Now you're saying that he's saying even the core of the tree is problematic. In addition, we brought the Pasuk and we interpreted it the way we just interpreted for the Rabbonah. We said, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda derives from the fact that there are two Pasukim. Asherehem Tishufun Ba'esh, Asherehem Tigadeyun. How do you reconcile between those two? That's to say that there is an Asherah that is totally Asur, needs to be uprooted completely. That was planted for that effect. Then there's another Asherah, which is one that you cut, but you leave the Ikar intact. And we brought that stira to teach you the din of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda on Mem Hei Amud Bet. The Gemara there asks, wait a minute, that's not the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda brought as his proof. The Gemara says there that it's because you have that extra pasuk, that's why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda learns that. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, the pasuk he quoted in the Braita that we quoted for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda was, Vashereihem Tishrufun Beish. And you're telling me his old limud is from Asherehem Lotikadeun. The Gemara said, well, you learn from Asherehem Lotishrufun Beish, that tells you that there's an extraneous pasuk. Because you had Asherehem Lotigadeon, Asherehem Lotisrufun Ba'esh, that without Asherehem Tisrufun Ba'esh, you wouldn't have known that Asherehem Lotigadeon means something else. Once you have a Shirem Tisrum Beish, that teaches you something else. So the truth is, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda did quote the Pasuk of Shirem Lo Tisrum Beish, and actually worked very well in his Shita, even though we didn't say that before. And the Gemara says, you know what? Maybe this is a better way to learn it. Ipoch Rabbonon, the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbonon. Flip their positions. Now, doesn't mean flip their positions remain, but flip all the limudim that we had back on Mem Hayom and Bet that were brought in support of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and then those in support of the Rabbana, and they went back and forth, and pasuk to pasuk, about what each one meant. Just flip that around, because now Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is going to say everything is problematic, and the Chachamim are only going to say that Tosefet is problematic. By flipping their positions in those limudim, you'd end up with the result that you have here. Where it says, Im Kain, if that's the case, Gid'o Pislo Man Ketoni Lo. Who's the author of our Mishnah now? This Mishnah over here, fine. You took care of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan over there. You made them both work according to Shmuel. Shmuel says that if you bow down to a tree, that Tosefet is a sur. We said, oh, that's in the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim don't say that. Rabbi says, how do you know? Maybe everybody thinks that the Tosefet is a sur. They're arguing about the Ikar. And that means that everybody agrees with this position of Shmuel that the extra growth is problematic. But then you have a problem with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Gido Pislo, if he cut it or pruned it, lopped it off for the Avodah Zarah, only the growth is a sur, not the Ikar. But why do you need that in our Mishnah? Lo Rabbonon, below Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't work according to the Rabbanon, it doesn't work according to Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda. I Rabbonon, if you think the Rabbanon are the authors of this Mishnah, below Gid'o Pislo Nami, Tosefet Asura. We just set them up to work like Shmuel, which says that even if you just bow down to it, then anything that grows afterwards is problematic. What do you need to do any action? Why do you have to cut it? Why do you have to prune it to make the new growth Asur? So then they can't be the author of the Mishnah, because they would make it a sur even without pruning it, even if you just bow down to it. This is the Tosefet, but only if you bow down to it. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ikar Ilan Nami Asur. If it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, even the core of the tree by sur, not just the growth. So neither of them fit in the Mishnah. So Ibai Temer Rabbonon, Ibai Temer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. We have some who can say to set it up like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, some who say to set it up like the Rabbonon, which is Ibai Temer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah's author Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Kikamar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda below Gid'o Pislo, Ikar Ilan Asur Bistama. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, when you do not prune the tree, and the Ikar Ilan is then Asur, is Bistama, where you didn't do anything to the tree. You just bow down to the tree. So the assumption is when you bow down to the tree, you're not just thinking about what's going to grow afterward, you're thinking about the core of the tree, and you affect everything in the tree. So if nothing is done to the tree, and you just bow down to it, the tree is a sur, not only the Tosefet, but even the Ikar. About Gid'o Pislo, if you go ahead and then prune the tree, lop the tree, trim the tree, for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, Galidate de Tosefet Nechale, Bikar Ilan Lo Nechale. You then have made it clear that you're not interested in the existing tree, you're interested in that which grows afterwards. So in a sense, you've actually indicated that you really don't want the Ikar to become a sur, and therefore, only the Tosefet would be a sur. And then that way, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda can be the author of our Mishnah, even though we're explaining his position earlier, back on Mem Hei Amud Bet, to mean that not only is the Tosefet a sur, even the core is a sur when you bow down to the tree. Ibai Temer Rabbanan, some say the Rabbanan could be the author of our Mishnah, which is, Gid'o Pislo, it's Michale. You still need to know about Gid'o Pislo. Sagadat Chamina given to Abed Lei Maseh Begufei, because he took an action on the tree, Ikar Ilan Nami Litzar, then even the core of the tree should be a sur. In a case where you simply bow down to it, there they say the Tosefet is a sur. But now when you took action on the tree, you would think not only is the excess that grows afterwards a sur, but even the core of the tree should be a sur. Kamash Malanda, that's not what they say. That Gid'o Pislo, still only the Tosefet is a sur. So in that way, we have now a different way of learning Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda than the Rabbanon's Machloket before. Before we thought they argued about a tree that not oak, ulusof, abdol, you planted it and then only in the end did you worship it. We thought Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said that it's asur going forward, and the Chachamim thought it was mutar legamre. That had to do with mechubar lekarka. Since it was mechubar lekarka, the Chachamim said, you can't do anything. It's harim mikvot, you can't affect it at all. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you have tfisat yidei adam over here, you co-opted it into a avodah zarah, and then you affect the tree in that way that it's not exactly like the harim mikvot. That's based on the psukim of Lotig Eshrayim Tigadeum versus Eshrayim Tisrufum Beish. about what is asur and what's not asur. We thought the excess that grew afterwards would be asur. The core of the tree would be fine. That's how we had learned before. Now the Gemara says, no, we'll assume that they both agree that whatever goes afterwards is asur. The machloket is about the core of the tree and what to do with the core of the tree. And that way, first of all, we can reconcile Shmuel with both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and say anything that grows afterwards is asur, even if you just bow down to it. You don't need gidob slow. Just bowing down to it is enough. And then machloket is about whether the core of the tree is asur or not. Our Mishnah, which says you need gidob slow, either for Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda, it's actually a kula, because if you make him the author of our Mishnah, which is that only when you bow down to it without any a statement about what you're doing, do you make the whole tree asur. In the case where you don't slow, you make it clear you just want the Tosefet to be asur. Or for the Chachamim, it'll turn out that you might have thought it's a Chumrah when you do Gidob slow, Kamash Malan, that it doesn't change the fact that only the Tosefet is asur. Even though the Gemara gives this answer, the Balei Tosafot, who says that the Shinuya Dechikahi, that is a very difficult answer to the Gemara. The Nechalei Lukmei Matnitin Karabonon Ushmuel Karab Yossi Berab Yehuda. It's a lot easier to set up the Gemara as Shmuel holding like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and not the Chachamim. So the Gemara gives the possibility that Shmuel can fit into the Rabbanan's position. And we can explain the Mishnah that way, but it's still a difficult way to do it. The easier way to do it is to say Shmuel is like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan are not agreeing or don't agree with that position of Shmuel. Alright, so now the Mishnah says something very strange, which is, Ezu Asherah. What is an Asherah? What do you mean, what's an Asherah? We just defined them before in the previous Mishnah, there are three Asherot. And we define what they are. So that's the first question the Gemara asks. Kol sheish tachta'a avodat kochavim. Anything that has a avodah zarah under the tree, that's called an asherah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol sheol dimota, only if you worship the tree is it considered to be asherah. When you put a avodah zarah under it, that's not called an asherah. Maseh b'tzidan, b'ilan sheyu dimoto. There was a case in Tzidan where they were worshiping the tree. U'mitza'o tachtav gal. And underneath the tree, there was this big pile of stones. Nobody knew what it was, but there's a pile of stones. Amar lein Rabbi Shimon, but kuat agal azeh, to check out what's in this pile of stones. It can't be there for no reason at all. There must be something that happened here, why there's this pile of stones here. But kuul, they uncovered that pile of stones, matzu batzura, and they found an image, they found a avodah zarah under the pile of stones. Amar lein, hoyel ulitzurahin obdim, the fact that they worshipped the tzurah, natir lehem et ailan, then the tree should be fine. The reason they were bowing down, they thought until now, was because they were bowing down to the tree. It was an asherah. And then what they figured out was that the pile of stones was actually housing a piece of avodah zarah in it. The reason they were bowing down was because they were bowing down to the idol that was encapsulated by these stones. So then you can now say that it's avodah zarah under a tree, and the tree itself is not an asherah. That's Rabbi Shimon the Shitato. Now the Gemara says, Ezu asherah. What do you mean, what's an asherah? Vanantnan. We just had the previous Mishnah that told us, Shlosh Asherot, none. It says there are three Asherot. What do you need to know? Hachi Gamar. This is what this Mishnah means. Shtaim L'divrei Akol. Two of those out of the three Asherot, everybody agrees to. And that is a tree that is planted originally for that purpose. That is considered to be an Asherah. Or a tree that was trimmed, cut, for the purposes of the growth being for Avodah Zarah. Everybody agrees that that tree is Asur. Whatever grows afterwards is Asur. And if you go with the second Lashon of the Gemara over here, that may be even a possibility that the core of the tree was Asur, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. They made a third case of Asherah. This is subject to a Machloket. That third case is a case where there's a Avodah Zarah under the Asherah. The Mishnah originally said, and the Stam Mishnah said that, that's not problematic. Once you take the Avodah Zarah away, the tree becomes Mutar. That, the Gemara is telling us, the next Mishnah tells you, is not as straightforward as you think. That's a machloket chachamim in Rabbi Shimon. The Tana Kama says, Ezu Asherah, kol sheyesh tachta'a avodat kochavim. He says that third case, when you said there was a avodah zarah under it, is not an Asherah, it is an Asherah. And Rabbi Shimon is the author of that position in the previous mission that says when you have a avodah zarah under the tree, the avodah zarah is the problem, not the tree. You take the avodah zarah away, the tree becomes mutar. That's what the Mishnah here is telling you. Vachat, machloket. So the last of the three Asherot that we mentioned in the previous mission is machloket. The Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon, Ezoi Asherah Shnechel Guba Rabbi Shimon Chachamim. That's what the introduction to our Mishnah should have said. It's missing those transition phrases, but it should have had that header, which is Ezoi Asherah Shnechel Guba Rabbi Shimon Chachamim. Which Asherah is the one that they argue about? Kol sheyesh tachta'a avodat kochavim. Anything that has avodah zarah under it, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol sheol dimota. Rabbi Shimon says no. only think that you worship the tree itself, not when you worship the Avodah Zarah underneath it. And the Chachamim are also here because these are Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. So even though there is Avodah Zarah here, the tree becomes a sur because it's a facilitator. It is in service of the Avodah Zarah, and that's what makes it a sur. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says there's no such concept as Mishamshim Avodah Zarah when it's Mechubar. You can speak about Mishamshim Avodah Zarah when they're detached. Something like a ilan or a tree that is detached, there's no concept of Mishamshim, and therefore if you remove the Avodah Zarah, the tree becomes Mutar. And so that's the transition between the end of the previous Mishnah and the beginning of this Mishnah. So now the Gemara moves on to a totally different question, not related to the answer we just gave or our Mishnah at all, which is, Ezeri Asherah Stam. What is a Stam Asherah? What they're asking is not how you make an Asherah, when it becomes an Asherah. They're asking, how do you know when something is an Asherah? These Amoraim are arguing about what identifies a tree as an Asherah. How do you know they're actually worshiping the tree? How do you know that they designated this tree to be an Asherah? So that's the Machloket Amoraim, which is Amarav, Koshe Komrim Yoshvim Tachteha, Vein Toamim Miperuta. So when the priests sit under the tree, and they refuse to eat from the fruits of the tree. The fact that they refuse to eat from the fruits of the tree indicates that it's, quote-unquote, Hekdesh L'Avodah Zarah. And the fact that they're under the tree is also an indication that they are the priests in service of the Asherah. So that's how you know that that is an Asherah. And the Rabbeinu Hananel connects between the two items and says, Amarav kosh komrim shomrimota, that the komrim are sitting there because they are guarding against people eating the fruits. It's not just simply that they're sitting there for the purpose of protecting the fruits of the tree. Shmuel Amar, Afilu Amre, Hanetamre, Lepe Nitzerfe, Asur. Even if they use the fruits, but they say those fruits should be taken to the Bei Nitzerfe, that is Asur. Derami Bei Shichra, because they take those dates, and they make it into date beer, Veshatele Beyom Edam, and then they drink it on their holidays. So even though they're willing to use the fruits, they still dedicate that which is made from the fruits towards the holiday of the Avodah Zarah. So the mere fact that they say take the fruits over to Bei Nitzerfe, which is this place of Avodah Zarah, that's an indication that they are worshiping this tree, or this tree is an Asherah, as opposed to Rav, who says that it needs to be that they put the fruits off limits. Nobody touches it. It's holy, so nobody can touch the fruits. Shmuel says, even if they use the fruits, but as long as it's done in a manner that seems to be dedicated towards Avodah Zarah, that also is considered to be an Asherah. Amar Ameimar, Amar Ulei Sabe de Pumpedita, the elders of Pumpedita told me, Hilchata Kishmuel. The Locha is like Shmuel, that even if they don't answer the fruits, but they simply dedicate them towards Avodah Zarah, they make them into something that they will use later towards Avodah Zarah, that is considered to be an Asherah. Could have thought that a tree like that is a Chulin tree. It's not Avodah Zarah, they're just dedicating the fruits that they're taking from there to be used towards Avodah Zarah. Shmuel says, once they're doing that with the fruits, that's a good indication the tree itself is also an Asherah. Right now, here are the restrictions with regards to an Asherah. Lo yeshev bitzila, you may not sit in the shade of such a tree. Vim yashav, tahor. If you sit in the shade of the tree, you're still tahor. Lo yavor tachteh, you may not pass underneath the Asherah. Vim avar, tameh. If you go under the tree, then you are tameh. So this goes to what is the tumah that's associated with the Avodah Zarah. It's clear from here is that the Tana of this Mishnah believes the Tumah is Tumata Mate. And since it is Tumata Mate, it has the same din as a mate, which is Tumata Ohel. If you're underneath the tree, then you have Tumata Ohel associated with you, and therefore you're going to be Tameh. If you're in the shade of the tree, the shade here does not mean under the branches or the leaves of the tree. It means the shadow cast by the tree. And we're going to see in the Gemara there are actually three different stages of shade that provided by an Asherah or by any tree in general. The first is under the branches itself, under the tree itself. It's clear here that's not what they're speaking about the shade, because the second piece of the Mishnah says if you walk under it, you're Tameh. And the first one says if you sit there, you are Tahor. So it can't be that you're talking about under the branches itself. So the tzel of the tree is the shadow cast by the tree that is beyond the branches of the tree. That's called the shadow. The Gemara is actually going to then entertain a third category, which is tzila de tzila, the shade of the shade. And that is that you have under the branches itself, under the tree itself, then you have the shadow cast by the tree, but the shadow is limited to the height of the tree. If the tree is 4, 5, 6 amot high, then the shadow cast, if you were to lay the tree down, 6 amot away from it, that's considered to be the tzel of the tree. That which is beyond the branches, that is a shadow like that, that's considered to be the tzel of the tree. Beyond the height of the tree, the shadow that is cast there, that's really when the sun is at a very sharp angle to the tree, it casts a further shadow. That which is beyond the height of the tree, that's called tzila d'tzilo. That the Gemara will deal with in a second. But our mission is dealing with at least two of those categories, which is number one, the shadow cast by the tree, that is beyond the branches of the tree. So the chatchila, you should not sit there. B'diavad, if you did sit there, you're tahor, because you were never under the tree itself. The other hand, lo yavor tafteh, you're not allowed to pass under such a tree. That is chatchila. B'diavad, if you do pass under the tree, you are tamei now. So you shouldn't do it, but if you do it, you're going to be tamei, because you have tumat ha'olel. That's the view of Rashi, although the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayot says, lo yeshev b'tzila, is b'tzel gufa ilan. That is the shade that is cast by the core, the trunk of the tree. Aval b'tzel anafeha ve'aleha, the shade that is cast by the branches and the leaves, mutar lo yeshevet sham. You can't sit there, because that seems to be that he's defining that as being tzel tzila. And tzel tzila is the shadow cast by the extremities of the tree, the branches and the leaves, because that is a weaker shadow that is cast versus the shadow that's cast by the trunk of the tree, which is a much more solid and stronger type of shadow. And that's how the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayot makes that distinction. And the Ran here on the Mishnah is Medayek, that it says, lo yeshev, that the restriction here is only sitting. But that means passing under it would be fine. The idea being that the shade provided only becomes a benefit when you're actually intending to get benefit from the shade. And that really happens when you sit there, because when you're sitting there, then you, even if you don't intend to get benefit from it, over time you will get benefit from it. Now then, when you pass by there quickly, or you walk through there, then if you're not coming to get benefit from the shade, then it's mutar. And that's why the Mishnah says lo yeshev instead of lo yavur by the case of the shade. Hayta gozelet d'tarabim, if it is stealing from the public, it is a public nuisance, the tree, avavar tachten, and then you pass under it, tahor. Meaning that the tree doesn't have a right to obstruct the public's easement that they have there. The way Rashi says it, hayan nofon notel reshut rabim. Its branches were hanging over the reshut rabim. So does that mean you're no longer allowed to go on that road because the tree's branches are hanging over there? You can't have the tree then inconvenience the public at large. They don't have a right now to come and usurp the easement that the public had there, that had the right to traverse there. You can't come along and deal with it that way. You can see that's Rashi's interpretation. If you look in the old Gimel of the Grohl, he brings the view of the Raivut, the Imraim, but the Raivut refresh, Shekadam lo aderech. That it's not about whether the branches come onto the street. It has to do with the fact that the road was there first. The rights are established because the road was the first to be there. And so now you can't have the tree come and obstruct the road. Implied in the Raivut is if it was the other way around. The tree was there first, and then the road came, you would have a possibility that the tree could obstruct the road. According to Rashi, it is, if the branches hang over the road, that's where the Rabim goes. The Rabim has a right, and therefore the branches can't obstruct the Rabim. So that's a little difference between the Raiva and what Rashi says over here. And Rashi writes, Vavar tachteh tahor. If you pass under the tree, the reason you are tahor is, Dach tumah d'rabbanani. This tumah is only rabbinic tumah. It's not tumah d'oraita. Even though, b'kraida matzina b'gemoro, we're going to bring a pasuk in the Gemara that says that there is tumah associated with this tree. Asmachta ba'almai. It's just a hint at the idea. It is not a true limud min haTorah. And that's what we say later on in Perek Rabbi Yishmael. Dach tumah d'rabbanani. This tumah that we're speaking about here is tumah d'rabbanan. Where it was a nuisance to the public, the Rabbanan were not goes there in that case. So that's the only reason you can get such a dispensation, as opposed to if you have a tree that's growing by a cemetery and the branches go over onto the road, then a Kohen can't go there. It doesn't matter that it's gozel the Rabbim, quote unquote. That's tumah d'oraita. You have a kever on one side of the tree. You have the branches carrying that kever onto the road itself. If a Kohen passes there, he's going to be tamei. And you can't say, well, this is a public thoroughfare. The tree doesn't have a right to be there. You might be right. But on the other hand, the tree itself causes tumah d'oraita to be passed onto the road. And therefore, a kohen cannot traverse that. That happens many times when you're at a cemetery. The kohenim have to be careful not to walk next to the walls of the cemetery where there are trees there. Or in other places where there were cemeteries, or cemeteries are adjacent to the road, and you have trees that create a shade or a shade-lined street, the Kohanim have to be careful about that. You don't have the dispensation that's said here, which is if it's obstructing the Rabbim, you don't have a right to do that, because Rashi notes here, this is Tuma the Rabbanan, as opposed to cases of Tuma d'Oraita, where you won't get such a dispensation. Now, if you use the Raivi, which says which came first, that tells you who has the right to insist on what happens going forward. So that means that if the road was there before the tree, you could insist that the tree be cut down so it doesn't obstruct the road. But it still doesn't change the fact that while the tree is there, there will be Tuma, because that is Tuma d'Oraita. Although the Ritva argues, maybe even at a d'Oraita level, that you can say here that the fact that the Rabbim traversed that area means that the problem of the Tikrovet Avodah Zarah doesn't exist over here. Because if it was there, it was already trampled, destroyed, taken away. Or they wouldn't put it there in the first place because of the fact that the Rabbim traverses over there. And so the Ritva sees this as a pigam in the probability of Tikrovet Avodah Zarah being there. And that's why you're Tahor. And you could say that even if you believe the Tumah is D'Oraita, you could still make that claim within that position of Rabbi Yossi ben Peteru. Right, it says, Lo Yishev Vitzilah. You can't sit under the shade of the tree. Pshita. What's the question here? You're not allowed to get hana from Avodah Zarah. So even if you're not under the branches of the tree, but you're in the shade of the tree is providing you a benefit. Of course you can't sit under the tree. Now the Bali Tosfot footnote over here, Velo Dami Litzilo Shel Heichal. This is not similar to the shade provided by the Heichal. Tohotam Heichal L'Tocho Asui. It's a big difference between a building that's made for its internal use versus something that is made for its external use. Which is a building, even though it casts a shadow, you're allowed to get hana from that shadow, because the building wasn't built to cast the shadow, the building was built for the purposes of the utility of that which is inside the building. So that's what the Bali Tosfot will point out. You can sit in the shadow of the Heichal, even though it's a sword to get hana from the Heichal. That's because the use of the Heichal, the utility of the Heichal is internal, it's inside the Heichal. That, the shadow is cast on the outside is not something that was envisioned in terms of the utility of the Heichal. Aval, over here, Asherah, Suyel itself. Trees in general are put there for their shade. I mean, that's the purpose of the tree. It's not for the internal tree. Even if you plant the tree for other purposes, whether it's for the fruit or for other reasons, still, the shadow cast by the tree is a natural part of what the tree does or what the tree provides. Inami, he says, maybe there should be no distinction. And true by the tree as well. The cell shouldn't be a problem. But Chumra, Davudat Kochavim, Shining. There's a Chumrah by Avodah Zarah, even though technically the shade should not be considered enough of a Hana'ah to be problematic, same way that the shade of the Heichal is not problematic. Nevertheless, Chachamim were gozer by the shade of the tree because it's Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's a Chumrah versus the Heichal. So anyway, just that, Tosfot gives you insight that it's not always the same din with regards to shade. Sometimes shade can be mutar to get enough from, sometimes it can be asur. That either could be because there's a fundamental difference between them, or it might be because just Avodah Zarah is so chamor that we extend the kakanat chachamim, gzeret chachamim, to a wider berth of issues, including the shade that's cast by the tree. So Amar Rabbi Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, no nitzrachayla letzel tzila. So that's what I told you before, that there's a third type of shade that is cast by the tree. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach you, that even that third type of cell that is cast by the tree is problematic. Again, under the branches, that we're not speaking about, because that's not shade, that's under the tree itself. Then there's a shadow cast by the tree, which is equal to the height of the tree. That shadow that's equal to the height of the tree is a darker, usually darker form shadow. That is a asur, but that's pshita. Of course that's a asur, you're getting enough from the tree. There's a third type of shade that is cast by the shadow or shade cast by the tree, and that's when the sun is on a very sharp angle vis-a-vis the tree, at sunrise, at sunset, then it casts a shadow that's longer than the height of the tree. That which is beyond the height of the tree, had you laid it down, that beyond that is called tzel tzila, michlau, tebetzel komata. You would apply from that if you sat under the shade of the tree that is equal to the height of the tree, im yashav tameh. If you sat there, then it would be tameh. Because then you're saying the first part of the Mishnah is speaking about tzel tzila. That means the next part of the Mishnah is speaking about tzel. That means even in the shadow of the tree, not under the branches, you would be tameh. Lo, tafilu letzel komata nami. Im yashav tahor, even for just the regular shadow that is the height of the tree, there you also would be tahor if you sat there. Va'akamash malan. So what's the Mishnah teaching us? Tafilu etzel tzila lo yeshay. Bechatchila, you shouldn't sit in that extra part of the shadow or the weaker shadow. But it's not implying that if you sat in the regular part of the shadow, that you'd be tameh. It's just saying that we go as far as to say Tzel Tzilah is still Asur. Iga de Matnila Seifa. Some put this qualification on the latter part of the Mishnah, which is, Im Yashav Tahor. If you sit there, you are Tahor. Pshita. Of course you should be Tahor, you're not under the tree. Why would you think you are Tameh? Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, no nitzuchal atzel kol mata. To teach you about the height of the tree, the shadow cast by the height of the tree. Miklal, the letzel tzila, afilu lechatchila yeshev. That's the case. It makes it sound like only the shadow cast by the height of the tree is considered to be problematic to sit there. But the shadow beyond that would be fine, even lechatchila to sit there. Lo, hakamash malan, tafilu letzel kol mata, im yashav tor. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even if you sit in the area that is shaded, you will still be Tahor. You would have thought that it's so close to being under the branches of the tree that maybe we'll be gozer there, Tuma. Even though you weren't under the tree, we would have thought you're Tamei, Kamash Malan, that you're not under the tree and therefore you are Tahor. So in the end, it turns out, according to both Lishonot, that the same din applies. It's just a question of what the Chiddush is in the Mishnah. That means that in Tzel, Tzila, and Tzila, it means that a shadow cast by the tree, up to the height of the tree, or the shadow cast beyond that, the din is the same. L'chadchila, you're not allowed to sit there. If you do sit there, you are tahor. Under the branches of the tree, under the shade of the direct tree itself, over there, you can l'chadchila, cannot go there. And if you do go there, you will be tamei, tumat hameit, midera banan, for avodah zarah. And the Chiddush is either teaching you that Tzel Tzila L'chadchila is Asur. The shadow cast beyond the height of the tree is Asur. Or the Chiddush is telling you that when you sit in the shadow itself, you are not Tamei. Even though you're adjacent to where the branches are, you're still not Tamei because it's not under the branches themselves. Those are the two possibilities of what the Chiddush was according to the Gemara if you read it connected to the Reisha or the Seifa. Although as the Gemara points out in Ohr Aleph, the Rambam clearly doesn't have the Hakamashman here at the end of the Gemara, which would then actually make it a huge nafkamina between the two lashonot, where the second lashon would allow tzila detzel to be mutar legamrei or lechatchila. And that's what we saw before when we noted the Perush Rambam on the Mishnayot, where he said that tzila detzila is the shade cast by the branches and the leaves, and that is mutar legamrei. And that's because he doesn't have this last piece of kamashman in the Gemara, and that would actually make a huge difference in the two lashonot of the Gemara based on that view of the Rambam. And the Gra says, and it's not only the Rambam, but it's the Yerushalmi, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Shulchan Aruch Hishmitu Etzeh, all seeming to indicate that that was the girsa that they had in the Gemara. Now Gemara says, "Belo yavor techta, v'mavar tamei." You may not pass under it, but if you do pass under it, you will be tamei. My time. What is the reasoning over here? E efshar daleka tikrovet avodat kochavim. Because it's impossible that there's not something that was sacrificed to this Asherah that is also found under the Asherah. And as the Riva points out, EFSHAR doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means that there's a high likelihood. The probabilities are very high. That's either because it's very likely that's the case, or for certain Tikrovet Avodah Kochavim was here before, and that was only a safek whether it was removed, or there's no residual of it left. And the ain't safek mutzimi de vadai. And for that reason, we believe that it's an overwhelming majority that makes it as if it is EFSHAR. Mani. Who is then the author of this position? That is Rabbi Yehuda ben Viteira. Tanya, we have a braita that we saw earlier on the Masechta back on Daf Lamed Bet. Amud Bet, it says, how do you know that when it comes to anything that's sacrificed towards Avodah Zarah, that is dedicated, but in worship towards Avodah Zarah? Remember, we said there's no such thing as Hekdesh for Avodah Zarah. Here we're speaking about literally things that were used in the worship of the Avodah Zarah itself. How do we know that they are mitamab ohel, or in essence, they have the same din as tumat hameit? Shenamar, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, in describing the history of the Jews there, vayitzamdu lepal peor, vayochlu zivchei meitim, that they put themselves close, joined themselves with the pal peor, basically they worship pal peor, vayochlu zivchei meitim, and they ate from the sacrifices of the dead. What you see here is that things that are associated with the sacrifice towards the Avodah Zarah are called Zimchei Meitim. They're also called Meitim, and for that reason, they have a status like a meit. Ma meit mitamo be'ohel, afti krovet avodah kochavim mitame be'ohel. Just like a meit is mitame ohel, so too, those things that are used in the sacrifice or sacrificial sacraments of the Avodah Zarah are considered to be tamei tumat ha'ohel, just because they're called Zibchei Meitim, and they are compared or associated with the mate, and just like a mate is metame ol, so too they are metame ba'ol. And again, we saw in Rashi, that's only a din, tuma de rabbanan, that's not necessarily tuma de oraita. Va'ita gozelet et rabim, va'vartach te ator. If it was impinging on the rights of the public, then even if you pass under it, you are tor. Ibailu, avar o uver. Is the Mishnah saying that im avar biti avad, if you pass under there, you're tor? That means that you should take efforts or precautions and not go there. It's to say if you do go there, then you are tor. Or uver. Are we saying lichatchila you're allowed to pass under there because they don't have a right to impinge on the rabbim? Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmet chizki amar uver. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar telling us the name of Chizkiya, that lichatchila you're allowed to go there. But Rabbi Yochanan amar imavar only b'diavad. The Gemara says about this v'lo plige. They're not arguing, rather speaking about different circumstances. Ha deika dircha achrina, ha deleka dircha achrina. Depends if there's another option. If there is another option and you go there, then lichatchila you should take the alternative option. B'diavad, if you go there, then you won't be tameh. On the other hand, if there is no other option, then you can go there lichatchila because they don't have a right to impinge on your ability to go there. The Baalei HaTosafot say something very important over here. Baalei HaTosafot say, idik adir chachrino, if there's another way, perish katzar kazeh. That is the same distance as this road. He says, the ibein and the meimar afilo aroch yoter, if you say that there's a longer way to avoid it, he says, imkeni l'davar sof, then there's no end to this. You can always find a longer way to get around this. Question of how long that way needs to be. Since the Gemara never gives you an assessment of what's the fair trade-off over here, then you can't say that you have to take a longer route in order to avoid this. You can take an equal route to avoid this, then we'll demand that you do it. But if it's not equal, it's actually a longer route, then you no longer have a requirement to make that effort. In other places, for instance, where we have requirements that you make efforts to get somewhere, for instance, to get to Minyan, to do Netilat Yadayim, over there, the Gemara gives you a quantification of how much trouble you must go through in order to do that. The Gemara speaks about 4 mil and a mil. 4 mil going the direction you want to go, 1 mil in the opposite direction, which is roughly 72 minutes in one direction, 18 minutes in the other direction. But it quantifies to you the amount of inconvenience you have to undergo in order to accomplish this. That is missing here. The Gemara never tells you that, and therefore the Baalei HaTosafot would say, the Gemara is telling you if there are equal options, then you have to take the other option, the chatchila. If the options are not equal, this becomes as if there's no other way, and therefore you can go down this route, lechatchila. You obviously can see other Rishonim arguing on the Baalei HaTosafot and saying that you do have to make an effort. How far, then you might have to bring in applications from other places. Maybe even from the case of Minyan or the case of Tilat Yadayim. Maybe that's the quantification of it. Or if it's a minor inconvenience, which in general we don't like when we come to Dinei Derabbanan because we don't like leaving things in a gray area where people have to decide. We'd rather say that there is a definitive line where yes or no. But you could see arguing on this view of the Baalei HaTosafot. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Sheshet, L'shamei. Rav Sheshet said to his Shamash. Rav Sheshet, remember, is a Sagi Nahor. He's a blind person. We have in the Gemara and other places discussions about Rav Sheshet as an individual who was blind and about his Chiyuv and Mitzvot or Mitzvot that he accomplished. And the Gemara at the end of Arvei Pesachim speaks about the fact that he's Motzi, his family, in the Seder. And how could he do that? He was a Suma. So we know that Rav Sheshet is a Suma. So somebody is taking him. He can't see what's in front of him. He can't see what's on the road. He says to Shamash, Kimati tahatam, when I get to that place where the Avodah Zarah, the Asherah, hangs over the road, Arahitni, move me fast. Get me to move fast over there. So he needed someone else to identify the location. When he got there, he says, move me through there fast. The Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what is the scenario here? Idaleka dircha achrina, if there's no other way to go, Lamali Arahitni, why does he have to run? Mishnah Shari, the Gemara we just said, says that it's the Chatchila, you're allowed to go there if there's no other alternative. If there is another way to go that is, according to Baalei HaTosafot, is just as convenient or just as short, just because you run doesn't make it that it's mutar. There you have to take the alternative route. You can't take this route. It's a case where there's no other alternative. Nevertheless, he wanted him to move him through there quickly. Odom choshuv shiny. You deal with someone of a stature or significant person, then you're demonstrating to other people how you're supposed to treat or relate to these items. And so he's showing them that this is a special dispensation here, that you got to move through it quickly because we don't want to tarry underneath the Avodah Zarah. If you have to go through there, then you're allowed to go through there. But that's making it to something where you hang out under there, use the shade. I mean, you need to go through with expedience. Now, you could confuse people in that way, and you could come to the wrong conclusion. That means that as long as you run through it, it's not a problem. But they were less worried about that, more worried about the precedent set by Rav Sheshet if he tarried under the Asherah, or if he went under the Asherah, that maybe that would indicate that he gave some reverence towards the Asherah. If he ran through there, it would be clear that he wasn't giving any reverence to the Asherah. Right, next, Mishnah. Zorim takteha yirakot bimota gishamim. One is allowed to plant vegetables under the tree during the winter time. And that is because during the winter time, you don't need the shade because the sun isn't out so much and the vegetation actually could use the sun rather than the shade. And that's why in the winter time you put it under there, it's not benefiting the yirakot underneath it. Avalobi mota chama. In the summertime, it's problematic because in the summertime, it's providing shade when that is beneficial to the vegetation that's growing there. Too much sun would ruin the vegetation, so the shade that it's providing is actually helping out the growth of the vegetation. That's problematic. Vachazirin, and lettuces, you can see in Rashi, letuga, that when it comes to types of lettuce, lo bimotach chama, lo bimotach shamim. Doesn't matter whether it's the winter time, but it doesn't matter if it's the summertime or the winter time, then it's restricted because lettuce does well with shade all year round. And so then, even in the wintertime, when you put shade on it, you're benefiting the lettuce, and we don't want you getting benefit from the Asherah. Although the Rambam says the reason the shade provides benefit in the wintertime when you put it is not because it protects it from the sun, but rather it protects it from heavy rains, or too much rain that falls in that area. Yosimer, aflo yirakot bimotak shamim, can't plant even vegetables there during the wintertime. B'nesha nibiyah nosheret alehen bava lahen lezebel. So the problem is that there is foliage that comes off the tree. The tree sheds during the winter time. So yes, the shade is not a problem because the shade is negative for the vegetable, but the tree itself is providing mulch or fertilizer for the vegetation that's found under it, and that's why you have a problem over here. So now Gemara says, the memra, the Rabbi Yossi savar, zeb zeh gorei masur. From this you would conclude that Rabbi Yossi believes when you have multiple inputs into an item, one of which is asur, one of which is mutar, then in that case, it's considered to be asur. Over here, the vegetation that's growing under the tree is growing because of the water that's provided to it, the earth that it's sitting in, plus the fertilizer or the mulch that's coming off the tree. So that's zeh, zeh gorim. You have multiple factors that are causing this to grow. One of those factors happens to be asur. And you see, Rabbi Yossi concludes, zeh, zeh gorim. When you have multiple factors contributing to the growth of the tree, if there's something that's asur in there, it makes the whole tree asur. And even though it's not mukhrach here that Rabbi Yossi holds zev zeh goreim asur, because it could be possible that Rabbi Yossi believes zev zeh goreim is mutar. And the problem here is that you're planting the lechatchila underneath the asherah to benefit from the asherah, from that which is going to fall or the shedding of the tree. And so you're not allowed to do that, even if you believe zev zeh goreim is mutar. You're not the lechatchila allowed to do such a thing. So then, the Ramban, who asked this question, suggests that the reason that that's not true in this case is because the nibiyah, or the shade, are things that are coming in the future. And since they are only future benefits, when you plant it there, that's not considered to be lechatchila, you're planting it there for the benefit of those items. They will come in the future, and therefore it's deemed to be as if it is b'diavad and zev zeh goreim. And that's why Rabbi Yossi can't hold zev zeh goreim as mutar. And it's a problem of the chatila. It's really a problem with the avad because it's something that will happen in the future. It's a davar shelo bali olam akshav, and therefore you can't call it or claim to be that it is as if you're intending for direct benefit from the avodah zarah. There are bonan amre zev zeh goreim mutar. The chachamim say that that's fine. So they agree when it's shade, that's problematic. But when it's the mulching of the vegetation, then the mulching of the vegetation is growing from the earth that it's planted. It's from the water that's being given. There are other factors that are causing it to grow. So it's a multifaceted contribution to this growth of this item. And therefore you can't say that the nibiyah falling on the ground is enough to deem it to be asur, and that zev zeh goreim is mutar. Now, even the chachamim agree that in the summertime, the shade is problematic. And that the Bali Atosfot explained, Perish Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam explains, during the summertime, they do all the tzaret. Why don't you say that zev zeh goreng? You have the shade provided by the tree, and the other items that contribute to the growth of the vegetation. Why don't you say that zev zeh goreng, and it's mutar as well? Why do the Chachamim agree with Mota Chama? So the Rashbam makes a distinction that's very important over here. He says, Aval the goreng detzel chashinan, shekulu asur, says that you have to look at the nature of the contribution. The factors that are contributing over here have to be contributing to the same outcome, which is the earth, the water, and the fertilizer are all providing the nutrients for the item to grow. So then you can speak about zev zeh goreng, that they're both gourmet. But when it comes to something like shade, the shade is not providing the same benefit that the earth is providing to the vegetation. It's providing an environment that is facilitating. It's not providing the ingredients or the nutrients that are there. And therefore, if you have cell there, you don't call it zev zeh goreng. Then it becomes a sur, because if it's doing one thing, then nothing else is doing. And it's providing protection from the sun that none of the other items are providing. And that's why the Chachamim agree by the shade that it's a sur, and why they disagree by the nutrients or the fertilizer that it is mutar. Although the Rifa does point out that in the conclusion of the Gemara tomorrow, based on Rashi, this would only be true in an Ahava Mina, because the conclusion of the Gemara is that even when you have two Gormim that don't do the same thing, nevertheless, it is still okay or mutar according to the Chachamim. You could argue, and that's what you're suggesting over here, that maybe the distinction is not like the Rashbam, but has to do with the percentage of contribution, which is that when it comes to the fertilizer, that's insignificant, or less significant compared to the earth and the water. And then the shade that is provided is significant, because the vegetation would die without the shade that's there, because it would be burnt by the sun or dried out by the sun. And that becomes such a significant factor that you can no longer say zev zeh goreng, because it becomes such an overwhelming factor. So that's another way that you can make a distinction. It's not what the Rashbam says, but you could distinguish in that way, which saying is zev zeh goreng, the Chachamim say, has application when you're dealing with different percentages or factors in the contribution. When it's less significant, then you can talk about zev zeh goreng. When it becomes so significant, you can't speak about zev zeh goreng anymore. Now the Gemara says, "Va ipchash ma'in on the hu." Didn't we just learn back on Mem Gimel Madveit that Rashi explained there in the Mishnah that there was a machloket between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, and we attributed that machloket to zev zeh goreng? And there, their opinions are reversed. Rabbi Yossi Omer shochek v'zorei laruach. And you pulverize it, you break it down, and then you throw it to the wind. That's how you get rid of the avodah zarah. O matiliyam, or you put it into the ocean, or you put it into the sea. Amrlo, afi naseh zevel. Wait a minute. How can you do that? That becomes fertilizer. When you throw it out into the wind, it might land in someone's field and be fertilizer for their field. We have a puzzle that says you cannot get anything from avodah zarah, not any residual benefit, not any tiny benefit. Here you're benefiting someone through the disbursement of the avodah zarah into the air, and then it can fertilize or help someone else's field out. Kasha derabanan adarabanan, kasha derabiyosi adarabiyosi. It's a stira between both of their opinions. Over there, Rabbi Yossi seems to say that when you throw it out to the wind, it's not a problem. So when those go and fertilize the field, you still have the earth, the water that are contributing factors, and zev zeh goreng is mutar. The Chachamim seems to say it's problematic. Even though there are other factors, the fact that this nutrient comes, this fertilizer comes, is problematic. So that's the opposite of their opinions that we're finding over here. So when it says, Vishlam adar Rabbi Yossi adar Rabbi Yossi lo kasho, Rabbi Yossi is not a stira. Hotam the ka'azal the ibud matir. Over there where it's getting destroyed, he says it's fine. Hacha the lo ka'azal the ibud asur. Here where it's not destroyed, then it is asur. Rashi interprets that to mean, Hatam kazal ibud, the abdohu mitkavein. His whole purpose in the case of destroying the avodah zarah is to get rid of the avodah zarah. So his intent, his kavanah, is to throw it away. Before bitla avodat kochavim, it's already annulled the avodah zarah. Velo gorah avodat kochavim shnishtabra me'elah. It's no worse than avodah zarah that broke by itself that we say is mutar. Once he's destroyed it, that chumrah midrabanan, we're not going to apply over there, because even the one who says it is asur is only mishum gzera, dilma makbile. It's problematic. That's only because we're afraid that the Jew might pick it up. And if he picks it up, he'll make it into his, and then you can't be mevatel it once he takes possession of it. So that's Rashi's view. The Baalei Tosfot disagree on a number of fronts with Rashi's assumption over here. He says, first of all, what does it matter that it is done li'ibud? That doesn't matter. The restriction is getting any anah from it. It doesn't matter what your intent is. If there's anah, there is anah. If there's no anah, there's no anah. It has nothing to do with what your intent is. That's number one. Number two is, he says, that if you're talking about avodah zarah being batel, that's when you're talking about a non-Jew's avodah zarah. Over here, you're speaking about even about a Jew's avodah zarah. And then in that case, you have a problem, because the Jew's avodah zarah can't be batel, and it doesn't have all the dinim of the avodah zarah of a oven kochavim. And the last thing the Baalei Tosfot point out is, this is only according to the one who says that nishtabu me'eleha is mutar. But you have the other opinion that says nishtabu me'eleha is asur. And therefore, what are you going to do with that? Nevertheless, the Baalei Tosfot don't like Rashi's explanation. The likelihood, the probability that this will actually end up being fertilizer is very low. But Rabbi Yossi says, and this goes back to what we were just discussing about probabilities in Zev Zeh Gorein. In the case of throwing it to the Ruach, there's a very low probability that it's going to actually fertilize the field or all land in one place or even be beneficial to the field in general. That makes it such a low probability, insignificant probability, that there we're not even going to invoke the principle of Zev Zeh Gorein. We're going to see it as insignificant. On the other hand, here, by our case, where the foliage is falling into the ground, it's very clear. It's in a very limited scope of where it's falling, and it's definitely providing fertilizer or mulching for whatever is below the tree. And if that's the case, then there is a Zev Zeh Gorein over here, and that's why there's a distinction made between them of Li'ibud and Lo Li'ibud. So that's according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Kasha, Atub Gazel Li'ibud, Matir. There where it goes to Ibud, according to Rashi, you're destroying it. According to Baalei Tosafot, that it's dispersed, and it's very unlikely to provide significant amount of Hanah. Hacha Lo Gazel Li'ibud. Over here, by the case of the tree, it's limited scope of where it falls. According to Rashi, you have no intent to destroy the tree or the Asherah. Therefore, it's Asur. El Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Kasha. What are you going to do with the Rabbanan Stira in their position? The Gemara says, Epoch, flip their positions in the Mishnah. You'll flip their position over here, and then that will be consistent with their positions we find. They match up with the positions we found on Mem Gimel with that. V'ibaitema lot Epoch. Don't flip it. Now, the truth is, when it says Epoch, it's not clear from the Gemara which one they want to flip. We're going to assume, because we're in this Mishnah, that they're speaking about this Mishnah, flipping this Mishnah. Technically, you could flip the other Mishnah over there, and then get to the same conclusion, which is, you're just aligning the position of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. The Gemara says, don't flip the positions. The Rabbi Yossi, Kedeshanina, the steer in Rabbi Yossi we already explained. The Rabbonon, how are we going to explain the steer in the Rabbonon? To the Amar Rav Mari, brother of Kahana, Mash Mishbiach Beor, the benefit that you gain in the hide, you lose in the flesh. So hachanami, so to over here, mashubash biach manibiyah, pugame batzel. That which you benefit from the foliage or the shedding of the tree, that is offset by the detriment that is provided by the shade. Where Rav Mari, the Rav Kahana, explains that we don't allow you to flay the animal that is psuleam kashim in a certain manner, even though that would fetch a higher price for the hide. And that means that a person would redeem this animal at a higher price because they'd be able to garner more money for the animal if he flayed it that way. So why don't we allow that? It's for the benefit of Hekdesh. Hekdesh will end up with more money if you allow it to flay that way. And Rav Mari, Rav Kahana, answers that there isn't a net benefit to Hekdesh because the added benefit that they get from the higher price of the hide is lost in the lower price of the basar, because flaying in that way is actually detrimental to the basar. So on a net basis, Hekdesh actually ends up losing money, because the hide will fetch a higher price, but the basar a lower price. And on a net basis, the bizayon kodeshim, plus the fact that you don't really get any benefit from that, maybe even lose money on it, we won't allow you to do it in that manner. And that's the reasoning over there. You have to look at the net of everything that's happening, and that's what the Chachamim are saying over here. The net over here is that the sale is so much more detrimental to the vegetation during the winter than the fertilizer mulching that is provided, that it's as if there is no goreim of isur over here. There's only a goreim of heter, and that's why there's no problem whatsoever. The Chachamim say you have to look at it on a more global, holistic basis, which is, what is the total value or benefit provided by this tree? In the summertime, there's a clear benefit that's being provided, which is you have heavy-duty shade, which is essential for the survival of the vegetation that's underneath it, and therefore that's considered to be asur. Bimota gishamim, the tzel is actually negative for the vegetation that's there, because they need as much sunlight as they can get. Being under the tree actually is detrimental to them. Ah, what about the fact that the tree sheds and provides fertilizer to them? That's not enough benefit to offset the negative of the shade that's being provided. In the end, it's still a negative that your vegetation is found under this tree on a net basis. It's still a negative, and that's why we don't consider it to be a sur. On the other hand, by the case of the Avodah Zarah, over there, there's only one thing that's happening. You're getting fertilizer into your field. That's going to be beneficial, period. Doesn't matter how little the benefit is, but there is a benefit. And that's why it's a sur over there. Okay, we're going to stop here, four lines from the bottom of Memchet Amud Bet.